Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today on Wednesday, the 29th of October, the year 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, CEO Arne Frank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please be very welcome to AAK's interim report third quarter conf call. I'm sitting here together with our CFO, Fredrik Nilsson, and our Investor Relations Director, Anders Byström. What we are proposing here today follows the classical approach. We will walk you through the third quarter. We will dive into some business area information. We will talk a little bit about our company program action, and then some Q&A. As always, I take easy, uncomplicated questions. Fredrik Nilsson takes the more complicated questions, and the really complicated ones, Mr. Byström will try to address. If you're okay with such an agenda, we dive into the material. Page three, summary. We're very happy to announce a 6% volume increase. Organic growth -3%, but there are some good reasons, and we are remaining prudently optimistic. Sales up with a strong 12%, mainly driven by our M&A activity, but also some good FX translation effects. EBIT is up 6% to 331 million Swedish krona, which is a new record high for us again. EBIT per kilo is flat. However, there is a strong underlying improvement. As you know, we've done a couple of M&A activities that are diluting the average EBIT per kilo. So that is, as a matter of fact, promising for the future. Earnings per share up 10%, and net debt evolution is under control. That's the high-level summary. I will now pass over the microphone to Fredrik, who will guide you through the financials, and then later I'm coming back on some more business dimensions. So please, Fredrik.
Thank you, Arne. If we start to look at the operating profit for the group, we have an operating profit of 331 million in the quarter compared to 313 million last year, so it's an improvement of 6%. This is adjusted for acquisition costs. They amounted to 7 million in the quarter, and then it was offset by 20 million in a negative goodwill, which we have booked as a revenue in the quarter. Operating profit, as Arne said, remained stable at 0.75, despite the dilutive impact of the recent acquisitions in Belgium and Colombia. If we look at the business areas, EBIT per kilo, chocolate, confectionery, and fats continue to improve, up 17% in the quarter. Technical products and feed, +3% in the quarter. Food ingredients was -9%, but as Arne said, this is entirely due to earlier mentioned acquisitions. So if we adjust for the acquisition, there was actually a small underlying improvement in food ingredients. If we then look at the business areas, food ingredients reported a stable result for the quarter of 211 million. Dairy continued to develop well during the quarter. The same for our product range, Akonino, that has a good quarter. Then there was also a few negatives that impacted food ingredients in the quarter. The direct tax in Mexico impacted negatively, and the challenge we have with infant continued during the third quarter. Chocolate and confectionery fats continued to improve and was up 19% in the quarter, and the EBIT reached 125 million compared to 105 million last year. We continue to have a high double-digit growth for our CBE products, while we have lower volumes or low-end products. Technical products and feed remain stable at 24 million, exactly the same result as a year ago. If we then turn to page five, and we have a look at the financial summary and look at the volume. As Arne said, volumes increased by 6% compared to last year, and that's due to the acquisition in Belgium and Colombia. The underlying organic growth was, as earlier said, -3%, with a plus in Food Ingredients or dairy and Akonino, and the negatives of Mexico and infant, and then good support from the CBE in chocolate and confectionery and fats. Operating profit, +6% in the quarter, and that's entirely due to the strong improvement in chocolate confectionery fats. Operating profit per kilo, flat in the quarter, but as we said, there was a dilutive impact from the recent acquisitions. If we then turn to page six and have a look at the cash flow, we have a good improvement in the EBITDA, up 52 million compared to last year in the quarter. Paid interest was slightly higher in Q3 this year compared to Q3 of 2013, and that's due to that we have paid acquisition in the quarter, and we also have higher working capital in the quarter. Paid tax of 100 million in the third quarter compared to 55 million last year is due to a timing issue, and if you look at the year-to-date numbers, you will see it's normalized. So we paid a little less tax in Q2 and paid more now in Q3. Working capital continued to be negative and was negative by 369 million in the quarter. That was due to increased receivables. We have increased inventory, and that's both due to price increases earlier this year, but also that we have too much volume in inventory, and I will come back to that. That was partly offset by increased payables. Cash flow from investments, -352 million in the quarter, and that includes the three acquisitions we have made in the quarter. Coming back to the inventory, due to the lower sales than we expected in the quarter, we continue to have too high inventories, and we work really, really hard to normalize the inventory levels. But due to the long supply chain we have, it takes a little bit longer time. Short guidance of the working capital, we expect it to be rather stable for the fourth quarter of 2014, but we should expect to see an improvement in 2015, particularly in the first quarter, due to the lower raw material prices. If we then turn to page seven and have a look at the working capital days, and you can see that the trend is increasing, and that has continued during the third quarter. It started to increase in the second quarter and continued further in the third quarter. Accounts receivable up 3 days, and that's due to increased specialty volumes in CCF. We have longer payment terms on those customers. Inventory up 8 days, and as I said, we have too much inventory currently, and actions are initiated to reduce those excess volumes. Accounts payable, it's the good part of it. We have managed to increase our payables with 5 days since year-end. If we then turn to page eight and look at the raw material prices, as you can see, the raw material prices has declined substantially since the summer, and you all remember that the 10% change in all of our raw material prices will impact our working capital with 250 million, with a time lag of 6 to 9 months. But we should also have in mind that our alternatives will be more competitive with a lower raw material price. So it's not only positive for working capital, it's also positive for our business. If we then turn to page 9 and look at return on capital employed, if we start to look at the rolling 12 months, you will actually see an improvement since year-end. We have 16.4 at year-end, and we are now at 16.5. But then if you look at the spot value, we have 16.1 at year-end, and we are now at 14.3. So a substantial decline in return on capital employed. And I will say it's three bullet points why return on capital employed is lower now. Number one is the acquisitions we have made. We had a full balance sheet, full assets in the balance sheet with no profit. And we have also the impact from our greenfields in Brazil and China starting kicking in. And number three is the higher working capital. So by that, I now hand the microphone back to Arne.
Thank you very much, Fredrik. Very interesting. And if you allow me to comment on working capital and raw material prices, page 8, and a little bit prior to this, we would have liked to see a little bit more organic volume growth. We had planned for a little bit more organic growth. We are relatively prudently, but still relatively optimistic on our volumes going forward. So the excess inventories, we are, again, relatively optimistic we can address in the relatively near future. And then again, ladies and gentlemen, as Fredrik said, the raw material prices on our main raw materials are at nearly historical low volumes, low values, low costs. And we are back to price levels that we need to go all the way back to 2009 and 2010 to find. Is this sustainable? Nobody knows. But except the good cash flow effect that will come here in a few months or so, it also makes very often our solutions even more appealing from a cost point of view for our customers. So this is attractive for AAK, and may we wish that it remains like this. Then trying to put some more flavor to the details of the business and address some questions and concerns that some might have had. As Fredrik indicated, we have performed like this despite some material headwind. And the three headwinds I want to address specifically is the media calls it conflict in Ukraine. I'm not an expert on such, fortunately. But as far as we can understand, it's more or less a civil war. And many have had concerns what this means to AAK, knowing our strong performance in particularly CCF in both Ukraine and Russia. So we are happy to announce, despite the very sad circumstances, as you can see on page 10, flat arrows on CIS, both on FI and CCF. And in terms of business here, the CCF part is still materially more important than the FI part so far, working on both, of course. So as we've said earlier this morning, in a total perspective, the combination of Russia and Ukraine, we are keeping up. And the embargoes and so forth introduced this summer has not influenced our business in any material way. And we are not seeing any change in trends in that, what we can understand today. So that is, in a very sad situation, some good news and should reveal some concerns that I know some of you have had. Second concern concerns our infant nutrition business. You know our infant nutrition business reported in the FI business area is standing on two legs, our infant formulas developed and marketed by AAK, the Akonino product family, is performing very, very, very nicely all over the world. And then we have our joint venture with Enzymotec Advanced Lipids and the high-end specialty product Infat, where we announced already after last quarter that also Q3 would be very challenging. And again, the performance you see here on the table is despite that. And the third bullet point is the, in the beginning of the year, introduced additional tax on high-caloric industrially produced food in Mexico, which is in our LA, Latin America. And as you all know, we are relatively big in Mexico, and this has hurt us. It has hurt us in the beginning of the year, but what we can understand in an accelerating way here lately. And you also see on page 10 a red arrow on food ingredients, because it's mainly food ingredients in Mexico. As a matter of fact, we have a red, you see green arrow on CCF, but the Mexican part of CCF Latin America is also red because of this material additional tax. Despite these headwinds, we have achieved the performance you can see, and that makes us, as always, prudently optimistic for the future. Besides, FI, relatively stable in the Nordics, relatively stable in Western Europe. The CSM bakery fat business in mainly Benelux, to some degree France also, little bit Spain, on the integration plan, developing nicely, and good enthusiasm in both teams of the merger of the sales and customer co-development forces in Western Europe between CSM and the old AAK. UK, with challenges always, but a relatively flat and stable development. US, clearly back on track after the Sandy issues last year. And we are, to give some more nuance, we have three dimensions here. We have green up, we have yellow flat, we have red down. If I was allowed by Frederick here to use more versions of arrows and so forth, US, I see a small, small light green maybe. But let's come back to that in the future and have our US team prove that I am right in that estimation. Central Eastern Europe, despite a little bit of influence on the situation with Russia, because in many industries one hear about some effects from countries exporting to Russia. We are not without such effects either. Despite that, you can see our FI business flat and stable and our CCF business up. CIS, I commented. Asia, good development. China is still a small part of AAK, but we start to see some nice growth in China. The Turkish acquisition last summer and the small add-on acquisition this summer is also starting now to yield some progress. The greenfield project in China outside Shanghai is also on track. So all that's positive. And then in Latin America, I commented on the high caloric tax on industrially produced such products. CCF very strong, and our greenfield project in Jundiaí outside Sao Paulo, I was personally there last week, and all that looks also very promising. That's about page 10. Page 11, Fredrik has already commented. Here is an add-on point that is important to remember, and that is if we adjust for our acquisitions in this field, EBIT per kilo would have been at 0.79, and that is despite the material headwind on advanced lipids and infat. So that's promising. And what I would also like to comment is on FI that our dairy fat alternative business has in the quarter developed very, very nicely. Besides, I believe Fredrik has said everything we see on page 11. Strong focus on organic growth in volume on semi-speciality and speciality, still at FI. We remember that we had the amazing 7% growth in 2013 with an international footprint that is improving but is still not at all a mirror image of the global market. I believe anyone we've experienced from the packed and processed food sectors do see that the 7% growth, and particularly with our steel footprint, is very impressive. Then we saw plus one Q1, Q2, which is, we put yellow marker here. I think that is a good conclusion. But we see here a more, much less appealing minus three. Again, main drivers, Mexico and infat. The commodity volumes, more logical evolution, and we have a very, very strong focus on this. Behind these numbers, we see very nice development on dairy fat alternatives, particularly. Food service has also been relatively promising. So we will be coming back to more normal growth numbers on this in the future. When is more difficult to predict. Page 13, in terms of operating profit and operating profit per kilo, Fredrik has already commented. Again, important to keep in mind the dilutive effect from Colombia and Benelux CSM's oils and fats business. Page 14, exciting news. Not the same extremely strong year-to-year comparison number as we saw after Q1 and Q2, which is totally in line what we said, plus 30, plus 40%. I had many questions from some why on earth we couldn't continue to develop with plus 30, 40% in a mature business. We are very happy with minus 19, and we are optimistic for this business going forward. We should be able to have at least one more quarter with a relatively unusually high year-to-year improvements. What that means more exactly is more difficult to say. Beyond that, going into 2015, it should be a decent CCF year again. Our CB business is developing very nicely. As you have in the pack somewhere, I believe, you can see the cocoa butter prices are still very high. Why is not this beautiful tree growing all the way into the sky? One reason is some of our customers have announced relatively radical price increases, and with a high proportion of end consumers being low to relatively low income takers, there is a limit how much the price on the end product can be increased before we see some negative volume price elasticity in this sector. Once that is the case, the demand to find new customers and new applications will be growing. But we remain optimistic here. Should also be mentioned that we have, shall we call it, some low-end semi-specialty products in the sector where we definitively see an increased competitive pressure, and that is the reason why the volume development in this business area is not materially better than what we see here. And the graphs, page 15, operating profit per kilo, a record high, and operating profit also a record high, at least if we go back to 2010. I'm uncertain if it's a record high in a longer perspective, but I believe the operating profit per kilo is a record high in a longer term perspective. And that is partly driven by the increased competitive pressure on the low-end products in the business area. And here we have the famous picture on the cocoa butter price, page 16. Despite many experts on the subject, despite various high-profile conferences at five-star hotels in different locations in the world where experts meet to discuss future raw material prices, I must say, dear ladies and gentlemen, that still I have not heard really convincing analysis why the price was relatively low in 2002, why the price peaked in 2009, why the price was exceptionally low in 2012, and why the price is now high again. Our strategy and our answer is we diversify AAK. We are a food ingredients company predominantly. We try to improve both in food ingredients and in CCF, and we enjoy the CBE profit. We believe in a good 2015 for CBE also, but let's not be too carried away, and let's make sure we continue to work on the AAK strategy to get a better international footprint, to grow in bakery, to grow in dairy fat alternatives, to grow in food service, to grow in infant nutrition, and in some other industrial applications. But for the short to mid-term, it does look promising. Page 17, our smallest business area, flat, as indicated, no drama. Sometimes we can see plus 2, 3, 4%. Sometimes we can see a little bit negative growth. This is sometimes big shipments to big customers. And because of that, we can see some swing factors from quarter to quarter. On TPF, the key word is stability, and we do not expect any main swings going forward either. So now I'm partly into the guidance, and I believe we have already said what's on page 18, but to summarize, so food ingredients, We expect full year to be representing an improvement compared to last year. CCF, we are quite optimistic. The performance of this business area is expected to continue to improve significantly compared to the same quarters last year. And TPF stability is what we want to signal here. So that's basically the guidance to the degree we are prepared to try to guide. Page 19, not so much detail. We had more detail, I know that, on our previous company program. AAK Acceleration, now it's Action, AAK Action. We would like to give you more details, but that would be interesting for many, but predominantly to competitors and others. But this is the simplistic summary of our strategy, and this is the backbone we have to try to collectively drive the evolution and the development of our company. And most programs are completely on plan. Lots of activity on the sales side, sales management, sales and sales management and customer co-development, processes, professionalism, efficiency. And it's all about getting more leverage on our competitive strengths, products, intellectual property, customer co-development, know-how. Innovation. Lots of exciting development on the innovation side that we hope we can come back to you all at some point of time when I cannot disclose. Even if it's getting a little bit closer. And then always lots of focus on execution. Delivery service, very important to all our large and medium and small customers all over the world. Product quality, needless to say, also very, very important. And in a globalized world, the demand on service and product quality is increasing all the time. And then productivity, you all expect productivity from us. We all expect productivity from ourselves so we can continue to deliver profit improvement and continue to invest in growth markets, in sales, in customer co-development, and in new product development. And all that is following plans. Colombia, Fanagra, we have talked before. We are on plan. Enthusiastic reception both from the people in Fanagra and from the Fanagra customer base. So all that developing nicely. Same comments on CSM, as I said, and greenfield projects in Brazil and China on plan. So before we go to Q&A, and I had one more thing I wanted to say, Fredrik reminds me here. But based on our value propositions, health, no trans fat, low saturated fats, and reduced cost, and customer co-development, we continue to remain prudently optimistic for the future. And it's basically driven by FI and CCF in different ways. Before we go to the Q&A session, I'm also asked to do a small pitch for our Capital Market Day, November 12. I believe we have passed the last sign-up day. However, we have a few more available seats. At everybody's request, we are this time doing this nearby and at our largest site, Karlshamn, Sweden, well knowing that that means that the logistic effort from you all to participate increases materially, but it has been a request. And Fredrik and Anders are pushing me here to do a small pitch. I can promise the program will be very exciting. We will, as always, disclose a little bit more than we have disclosed before. We will dive in CCF and to understand that situation with everything from high cocoa butter prices to anything else. And I believe we will also talk infant nutrition and so forth. And we will see some state-of-the-art process and production equipment and state-of-the-art world-leading vegetable oils and fats production. So we have succeeded to open up a few more slots. If anyone feels that you want to come, if you speak nicely to Anders or Frederick, we can accommodate a few more if you come back to us in the very next few days. Was that okay, Frederick?
Absolutely.
So with that, then we go to the Q&A session. And again, please, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind, I take easy, friendly, uncomplicated questions. And then in some kind of escalation process, other questions go to Frederick and ultimately to Anders. So please, ladies and gentlemen, Q&A, we have a few more minutes for questions if you have such.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash key. So once again, that's star and one if you wish to ask a question. And your first question today comes from the line of Casper Blom from Handelsbanken Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Three quick questions from my side, please. First of all, regarding this tax issue in Mexico, could you give a little more flavor to how much this has affected your Mexican business? And secondly, whether you see this possibly happening in other countries, I'm thinking especially about Brazil and Colombia here. Secondly, you mentioned dairy solutions as a high growth area within food ingredients. Could you elaborate a bit on what has been driven this? And then finally, within CCF, have you noticed any changes in the chocolate industry in the way? Are you seeing any new competitors popping up now that this area is becoming more attractive? Thank you.
Hello and thank you. Many good questions as always. I will try to address the tax in Mexico is an additional VAT on high-caloric industrially produced products. This has hit our Mexican business materially. The tax was, in all fairness, launched already beginning of the year, so we had some headwind on this already in the Q1 and Q2 numbers. That we believe has increased in Q3. Do we believe that such tax can come in other countries? I mean, you never know. You have versions of this all the time. You know, we had in Denmark this fantastic tax on saturated fats, and even if I'm chronically negative to taxation, personally, with the risk to be developing hostile relations with most of the Danish food industry, in AAK we loved the Danish saturated tax, where a package of butter more or less became twice as expensive overnight, and our alternative products became dramatically more competitive. So the risk is not zero for similar things, but they can come in all kind of sorts and forms, and subject to how they come, it can be indifferent or an advantage or a disadvantage. Not being an expert on all details of daily life in Mexico, we need, though, to understand the Mexican situation. Mexico, a year ago, 18 months ago or so, passed United States of America as the number one obese country in the world. We are in a country where public water and tap water very, very often cannot be consumed as is. And we are in a country where a big part of the population do not have access to fresh water, tap water, that can be consumed without boiling and so forth and so forth. And in this country, the situation was so bizarre that very often soft drinks, I'm not saying any brands or so forth here, but we can say soft drinks, you know what I'm talking about, was in the supermarkets less expensive than mineral water. So in a mid-income country, with a big portion of population with modest income, there was a tendency that a relatively warm climate, that way too big part of the daily consumption of water was in the form of soft drinks instead of mineral water. So to some extent, even a chronically negative person as myself to all sorts of taxation could understand where the Mexicans came from when this tax was introduced. Then we can have other views on this, but I think that's outside the subject of this call. So that's a little bit background on that. Your next question, Mr. Bloom, was on DFA, where you know we have more and more and more appealing products for ice cream, at least what we can call ice cream in Europe. In US, you have the notion of identity and so forth. Butter blends, whipped cream and toppings, analog processed cheese, to mention some of the high sellers. And here you are really in the epicentrum of the AAK value proposition. No trans, low SAT, equally good product in terms of consumer experience. We've done some blind testing at Capital Market Days. We might do that again in the future. And materially lower cost for the customer. And very often the products developed in a customer co-development approach. So in the countries where butter or milk fat has a relatively important price still, after all, and there are different projections on milk fat going forward. Some believe it will be less expensive. Some believe it will be more expensive. But we can just say we don't know, but our DFA business have had another very good quarter. And then CCF changes. Well, of course, an increasing interest for our CBE products. With cocoa butter at $7,000 to $8,000 and $2,400 less than 24 months ago, an accelerating interest. More competition. We've had a competition now since many years in this field. And competition is about production capacity, it's about fractionation capacity, it's about availability of raw material, it's about having educated salespeople on the road, and it's about having good and educated customer co-development people on the road. Of course we have competition, but we are winning some and we are losing some, but I believe we are winning a little bit more than we are losing. So I don't know, Mr. Bloom, if I answered all your questions, but at least I tried.
Well done. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Who's next?
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Patrick Zetterberg from Nordea. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. So a couple of questions from my side as well. The first questions are related to your infant nutrition business. I'm just wondering, you're talking one of the leg is having a positive development, the other leg is having a negative development. Could you tell us what the net effect is on volumes and operating profit in the quarter compared to the third quarter last year?
Why don't we let Fredrik speak a little bit here?
Hi, Patrick. I don't think we would like to comment upon that, but as we said and stated in the report, Aquanino business continued to develop nicely, and we had a negative volume in the infant business. But I think we will not comment more about that.
Okay, I have to respect that. Then my second question is also related to infant nutrition, and especially the situation going on in China. You said after the Q2 report that you expected the situation to normalize again in the fourth quarter. Is this still the view that you have, or should we look differently upon the business on infant nutrition in China?
I would say the guidance we're giving you in the various statements in the communique and in this PowerPoint and in this call is assuming that we are less certain of the speed of the recovery and the exact timing of the recovery. Much more than that we cannot say.
Okay, and then perhaps linking that comment to your general organic volume growth in the food ingredients division, would it be fair, given the full year outlook that you have, would it be fair for us to assume that you will return to positive organic growth volumes within speciality segment?
Well, we can say our DFA business is, there's a good momentum in the DFA business, really good momentum. Our food service business is having a relatively decent year and we see some good signs. We've been working hard on that side, lots of good activity internally and so forth, and that we see some good signs. A bit not too vague to give any clear guidance, but we see some good signs. Our Aconino business looks promising. It will take some time before FI is back in the good old, really strong fit form we have seen. But personally, I am prudently optimistic. The slope and the speed the recovery will see is more difficult to predict.
But I still assume that the operating profit guidance you have for the full year is assuming some kind of volumes assumption for the speciality and the semi-speciality in the food ingredients area for the fourth quarter. I'm just wondering if you're trending upwards or if it's going to stay in the same negative magnitude as we saw in the third quarter.
There should be some improvement. I would be personally very, very disappointed if there is not some improvement. But how much and how quickly is difficult to say, Patrick.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And your next question comes on the line of Richard Koch from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi there, Richard Koch at Kepler Cheuvreux. On the guidance on food ingredients, it seems to me that you're guiding lower. You're talking about an improvement versus last year, and previously you said same growth rate as last year. What level of improvement are you really looking for?
Hello, Richard. I think it would be very unfair to Patrick if I answered so vaguely to Patrick and then you come with the same question but more precisely. It would be highly unfair to Mr. Patrick if I even tried to answer your question. I think what we said to Patrick is as much as we can say on that subject.
Fair enough. Regarding the organic growth, also coming back to that a bit, and I mean -3%, and we had the whole year has been a bit poor on the organic growth. How much growth had you expected in this quarter, and do you see that coming back anytime soon?
We disagree on the statement that organic growth has been very poor. We have a mixed bag. But a lot of the negative organic growth is on commodity and low-end semi-speciality. But as Fredrik said, we have high inventories. And you know, some of our raw materials, they travel basically more or less around the globe on ships. So you can calculate what is the timing of our supply chain and what kind of anticipation we need when we do the call-offs from our raw material suppliers. And we are growing market share, we believe. We have good momentum. So it is, of course, painful to be sitting with more inventory than you need because you haven't been selling as much as you wanted. But I promise you, it's even more painful to have customers knocking on the door, but you do not have raw materials so you can provide them. So, and as we are talking big volumes here, we are all in all talking 1,700,000 or something metric ton of business, and you don't need to miss your forecast very much before that represents quite high numbers. I don't know if you want to fill in on that, Fredrik.
No, I think that's a fair comment, and I don't think I have so much more to add on that.
Okay, just follow up on that. When you report organic growth -3%, and you say that you had expected more, how much had you expected in terms of organic growth?
A little bit better.
Okay. Turning to CCF, have we now seen the full impact from the higher cocoa butter prices, or is the EBIT per kilogram going to continue to sort of jump up?
We are optimistic. As I said, many experts on raw material prices left, right, and center in the world, not only on cocoa, by the way. And all we know is that reality always ends up something else for some other reasons than what is officially predicted. But the experts I talk to and the big customers I personally talk to, and a couple of them just in the very few last days, even yesterday as a matter of fact, they do not see any short-term changes to the cocoa butter price. And we see an intense interest for CBE from people who are not yet using CBE when they could. But on the other hand, as you know, there is very, very long sales cycles in this industry. This is not pharmaceutical industry, of course not. But when you go into new applications, new products, new formulations, if you modify the formulation to the extent that you need to do a new shelf life test, then we speak very long sales cycles. But putting all that together, we should be prudently optimistic for the future, as we always say.
So assuming that cocoa butter prices stay where they are, I'm not asking you to forecast that.
Yeah,
would you expect further improvements on the profitability just from the fact that the customers' contracts are sort of rolling in on a higher price level?
I would tend to say yes, because we already said that for Q4 we should have another quarter with relatively impressive year-to-year comparisons. First bullet point. Second bullet point, the low-end semi-speciality products in CCF, we have already said we see an increasing competitive pressure. Putting those two together and assuming some growth on CBE, how much more difficult to predict, that should have a healthy effect on the EBIT per kilo in CCF.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Johannes Grunselius from ABGSC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everyone. This is Johannes Grunselius. Hi. A few questions. First on FX. You obviously had a lot of tailwind from currency movements in the third quarter. Are you expecting sort of very much a positive impact as well in the fourth quarter and going into Q1? You said here, or highlighted to us, that you're working actively with hedging. Did we see the full impact of FX in Q3, or should we see even more in the fourth quarter? That's basically my first question.
The FX you saw in Q3 has nothing to do with our hedging. It's just when you translate the local subsidiaries into Swedish kronas, it's only the translation impact. And you should expect also to see a positive impact in Q4.
So how should I read this? Because you highlighted that in the report that it was a plus 60 million translation effect, as you say, Fredrik. So this must be what you boosted the third quarter with, right?
That's right. That's the positive we have in Q3 due to pure translation.
And given where currencies are right now, can you give us a rough number we should expect for the fourth quarter?
It's of course depending what's happened during the rest of the year, because this is calculated as an average during the year. So I think you should be not be that too far away from what you saw in Q3.
Okay, that's good. Good to know. Also on investments, could you help me a bit with what I should assume here in total CapEx or investments for this full year, because it's and possibly also for next year, because you're very active now in both organic growth and carried out acquisition. But do you have a sort of a rough guidance for investments this year and next year?
I think we will also come back and talk a little about the CapEx level when we have the capital market day in a few weeks. But in general, you have the regular maintenance, which is around 400 million SEK per annum. And then, of course, there will be some more CapEx this year, because there will be CapEx related to the greenfields in both in Brazil and China. But the majority of those investments will come in 15 and early 16.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have acquisition. But if you look at the Q3 number and you assume that you have normal investments in the quarter, then you know how much is the CapEx-related investments in the third quarter.
Okay. Right. Then also on the different parts in food ingredients, can you elaborate a little bit on your EBIT per kilo in the different pockets? I'm particularly interested in infant nutrition. Can you say anything if you raised the EBIT per kilo, or was the EBIT per kilo down here because of the sort of current turbulence of infant in China?
Johannes, we normally only disclose the breakdown of food ingredients once per year, and that is in connection with our capital market day, and we will come back and do that also this year.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. That's useful information for us. Okay,
I
thank you.
I promise that you will have an update.
Super, thank you guys.
Thank you.
We have one more minute, I believe.
Your next question, sir, comes from the line of Stefan Cederberg from SEB.
Yeah, good afternoon. Arne, you talked about some price increases from some of your customers in CCF. Is this a consequence of higher raw material prices such as cocoa butter?
Yes, sir. It's the general price increase on particularly cocoa butter, but cocoa beans in general. So in your material, you know who are the 5-6 biggest players in chocolate confectionery or chocolate. Euromonitor has a lot of good information. And if you Google those and look at their home pages, you will see that at least two of them on their web pages speak about price increases, and they put numbers on them too. And with that kind of price increase, some of them are not predicting but fearing negative volume price elasticity. Yep. So a continued volume growth for CBE implies new customers and or new applications into and or new products. And that can sometimes happen quickly, but sometimes goes hand in hand with some customer co-development and shelf life testing and so forth. And that is for AAK both good and bad. The good news is it makes the business more stable. The good news is that we believe we are better than most on customer co-development, so it's good when that's needed. And then we can also hopefully secure better customer satisfaction over time. And the bad news is that sometimes things are a little bit less quick and speedy than we would like to see. So, ladies and gentlemen...
Can I just have another question, a short one?
Okay, one final.
Yeah, Fredrik, you said that acquisition added nothing to return on capital employed. Is that correct, that is zero impact on EBIT from acquisition?
That's right, in the quarter.
Yeah, and a follow-up on those. You said that acquisition added 9% to volume growth in a quarter. that gives a number of 37,000 ton. And on an annual basis, if it takes that four times, it's quite clearly higher than what you previously said in terms of volume from acquisition.
You have to adjust also. Turkey was not fully part of Q3 last year.
All right, so nothing dramatically happening.
No, they are on plan, exactly what we have communicated. Yeah. It's just that Turkey was only part in Q3 last year.
Okay. Okay.
I think that was August 1, right?
All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we apologize. We are running out of time. The good news is now you have even more incentive to come to our Capital Market Day, because here it's much more difficult for us to escape all your very good questions. So, and I hope some of your questions we try to answer and not escape. So we thank everybody, very good questions, and thank you for your attention, and we look forward to seeing all of you at our Capital Market Day in Karlshamn, beautiful Blekinge, Sweden. Even if it's November, it's a nice place to be. So hope to see you all there. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating, and you may now disconnect.